from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Good morning, everybody. It is the G and Ursula Show. Happy Thursday to all of you. If you guys haven't heard me on the air lately, I have to ask, where have you been?
No. Where have you been?
Don't turn this around on me. Hey, good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. So nice to have you back.
It's good to be back.
It looks like you're feeling a little bit better, at least.
Yeah.
So we're happy for that, for sure. Coming up at 10:30, we're going to have Nikki Gomez joining us again. A lot of people in Pierce County are really unhappy about the latest when it comes to Sound Transit and plans to get light rail down there. So we're going to get into that. But right now,
what's new at 10?
So we want to revisit our topic from 9:30 when we had State Senator John Lovick on our show. And we were talking to him about his Senate bill that basically resurrected the police pursuit bill that appeared to be dead.
Correct.
So this version would require police officer training on vehicular pursuits, but it would also change the burden of proof so that officers can chase suspects when a reasonable suspicion standard is met. And while we were doing this interview with him, this is something that Senator Lovick said that got a lot of our listeners upset.
So let me just say this. I'm glad to ask the question, G. You know, I listen to radio all the time, and I heard an officer, a detective, say that car thefts are up because of the pursuit. I'll tell you this. When he gave the description of a car theft, he said what people are doing is they're leaving their keys in the ignition, they're leaving the purse on the front seat, and they're doing all those things. Those are the reasons people are stealing cars. It has absolutely nothing, and I'm going to say this, state this parenthetically. Car theft has nothing to do with whether you can pursue the vehicle or not. People need to do their best to keep their their vehicles from getting stolen. Don't leave the keys in the car. Don't throw the freaking keys in the trunk when you get out to go work out at the gym. We need to do those things to prevent cars from being stolen. It has nothing to do with pursuits. And I'll just say this, and I get very emotional when I say this. Anybody that tells you differently is misrepresenting the truth. And I will say that, and I'll state that forever.
Okay. So if you missed the interview, you can go back. But both you and I, you know, we push back. I just said it sounded like he was almost victim blaming. And I have the greatest respect for State Senator Lovick. Now, we did hear from another state trooper, 360, texted in and said, I am a 27-year WSP vet currently working the roads in Pierce and Thurston counties. No disrespect, but a huge letdown from State Senator Lovick. He is obviously too far removed from the road. Criminals do consider consequences. And when there are none, criminals do act out. Car thefts are up, not because victims just started being careless by leaving their keys in the cars and purses on the seats. Crime has elevated because police are limited in their enforcement duties, including no pursuits. And I've been doing this for a very long time. It is incredibly obvious that the public knows police cannot pursue. Some legislators need to wake up and realize that some criminals have bad intentions and are looking for opportunities without consequences.
For full context, the reason why Senator Lovick gave that response is because my question was this, and this is very simple, and this goes out to all law enforcement that's listening right now. Now that there yesterday happened, and now there have been a little bit more of compromise, and now that you are able to pursue, does this mean that there is going to be a decrease in stolen cars? And that was his answer. So my question going forward is going to be very simple. Next month, the month after, the rest of this year, is there going to be a decrease in stolen vehicles? If it is not a decrease, the one thing we for sure know, we will not be hearing that we aren't allowed to do our jobs.
That's right.
Okay, so that
at least
part,
you're not allowed on the chasing part, right?
Yeah,
So the part about whether there are enough punishment or is the court system doing the right thing, but you cannot use police pursuits at least as the reason we're seeing
because they use it a lot. So but the way it was used so much, it's almost as if after yesterday we can expect a decrease in stolen cars.
Right. So, yeah. So I think just in the messaging, I think I know what Senator Lovick was saying, but there were.
do you think there's going to be a decrease, Ursula?
I think that it is going to enable police to at least do chases where so far in the past 2 years they have not been able to do that. And in effect, I mean, I think that it could. I think it could actually reduce certain crimes. Mm. Is it going to be.
No, I'm talking about stolen cars. Stolen cars.
It's not going to. There are people who do make it too easy. His point is well taken, too. There are people who make it too easy to steal a car. Now, I'm not blaming them because it's still the thief who shouldn't be doing it, but don't make it that much easier. And I think his message should have been don't make it easy for these bad people to do bad things to increase. And this is not going to be the end all for all these crimes.
The public right now. The public cares about a decrease.
Yes.
That's what they want to see.
And I think this is going to be one tool, one additional tool that police will have. And this will be one thing that they cannot say, hey, we're unable to pursue because of laws. Right. So it is one thing. And it was really important. And I'm so glad that State Senator Lovick was able to find a compromise that Monka Dhingra was able to support. Because she was the thing that was the person that was blocking it in the first place. We've got Matt Markovich here. He's been covering. I mean, there's just been so much movement in Olympia. So what do we have going right now? Because you were not sure you would even be able to join us right now.
Well, what I'm doing right now is I'm actually listening to the Democratic leadership in one ear and hearing you guys in my other.
Oh!
So I can listen to how they're going to respond to what happened yesterday. This is the first time where it's actually a press conference. And so people are asking them questions. But I'm here sitting with you so I can help you here. I want to be able to say something that you didn't know that Senator Lovick did yesterday. You're talking about stolen cars. They tried to add. I'll go back into what happened, but Senator Lovick voted against an amendment that would have added stolen cars to the pursuit. All the Democrats said no. So he's saying that he had an opportunity to say you could have chased after stolen cars in an amendment added to this bill, but he said he voted no. So I thought I'd just let you know that. It was his original bill and all this. But, yeah, what a day yesterday. So, do you want to?
Well, the one thing, there's one thing that I want to give credit to someone who said something that I thought was pretty profound. And this was State Senator Mark Mullett.
Human nature says one of the hardest things in life to do is admit when you've made a mistake. And I voted for this bill back in 2021. I think the unintended consequence, Mr. President, of our legislation in 2021 was that it became widely known that we were not going to pursue criminals. That has created a public safety challenge in the state of Washington.
Now, okay, that was almost the most reasonable thing that I've heard.
Well, can I put someone live on right now?
Yeah.
Here, you want me live? Can you hear the?
What's off the Senate floor? I haven't.
This is Speaker Jenkins asked if this is going to go through the House.
Consider here
right now.
There continues to be a very broad diversity of opinion about the elements of any pursuit bill within our caucus, and so I think we'll continue to move forward, looking to balance the concerns that people have. Like really looking at public safety broadly, right? Wanting to make sure that police have the tools to do their job, at the same time making sure that innocent people aren't killed by dangerous high-speed chases. So that's kind of the orientation I think that our caucus will have as it moves through committee work, is trying to achieve the right balance there.
So that was live right there.
Good job. Wow, great timing there.
That man Markovich is a bad man. Good Lord.
So let me explain how important what she just said is.
Okay.
She is the person. It was a similar bill going through the House that we were all following. That's what we've been talking about for weeks. She decided yesterday, and the Democrats in the House, to not vote on it yesterday morning. And so what happened is, that's why it's so important for what she says, because she controls whether a bill goes to the vote at all.
Yeah.
So that was her. Finally, she's answering what's going to happen to this bill in the House. So what happened yesterday is that, like I was saying, she and the Democrats killed the bill in the House that was we're talking about, the same pursuit bill. At 1 o'clock, surprisingly, without any notice, the Senate brought up this bill that's been dead for weeks that Monterey Dhingra killed and never giving it a hearing. They debated for an hour. At the same time, at the exact same time, there was a rally on the steps of the Capitol asking for people just hey, listen to, take a vote, you know, put it to the floor so we ever have a debate on it. Coincidentally, or not coincidentally, they picked the 1 o'clock hour when this was going on at the Capitol steps. So the Senate heard it. And I found out this morning that the Democrats in their private caucus voted 15 to 14 to put the bill on the House floor, Mankor Dhingra voting against it. And it won by one vote by the Democrats who control everything. They decided, OK, we're going to put it to a vote, pull it out of the grave, put it on the floor, vote it. And it was by one vote. And then Mankor Dhingra, who killed it, modified it in an amendment to match the House and then changed her vote to vote for it. And so this is all the dynamics inside the Senate.
OK, so ultimately, though, we need to make real clear. I mean, now it's, you know, resurrected in the Senate, but it still needs to pass the House.
That's correct. And what you heard there from Speaker Jenkins, I mean, this is how the sausage is made, right? So you just heard from Speaker Jenkins. Now she just killed basically a similar bill. You just heard her ask, what are you going to do now? Because the bill just got back to her from the Senate. The Senate basically said, okay, we're going to do our job for an hour, throw it back to the House. So now it's back in the House. I know it's all political stuff, but this is how it's made.
So what are the chances anything's going to pass on this?
Well, you heard that she is the person, whether she brings it to the floor, even if they modify it.
So nothing has changed.
Nothing has changed right now. Yeah. And but it's basically back to what we have. You can't chase stolen cars. You can't chase reckless drivers. You can basically just chase, if it goes through, people who are suspected of violent crimes. You know, we're the only state in the country that has the probable cause, which is a higher level of chase of a standard to chase somebody. Everybody else has reasonable suspicion. I know it gets into the weeds, but that's what we're talking about here.
You know what's interesting about this, Ursula? It's interesting hearing Senator John Lovick saying that he and others have been listening to the people and listening to what's being said, listening to what law enforcement has said. And I'm just curious who they're really listening to from the beginning and even now. Because I say that to say this. Do you know how many people that I know personally that's like, yeah, gee, I don't want the police going after these criminals, these suspects? Zero.
Yeah, I don't know anyone.
I don't know, not one person. Now, somebody could say, gee, you don't know a lot of people. I kind of do. I'm in the community. I'm out here. I don't just live elsewhere and talk about this stuff. I'm out here. I don't know one person personally that is against this. Who are they listening to make this such a thing? This
well,
is what people get.
They're listening to people who
are listening to politics.
Or they're also listening to some people who have had loved ones killed in pursuits. I mean, or injured in pursuits.
No lie about it. That needs to get better.
Yes.
No doubt. And my heart goes out to those families that have lost loved ones. But in this is a pure case of when people sit back and say, this is where you care more about politics than people. This is why your boy could never be a politician. Because of this reason right here. Because I know if you had a one-on-one conversation with a lot of the people that's voting against this, they'll look you right in your eyes. I guarantee you, behind closed doors, they're saying one thing and they're voting on another, like you just came on here and talked about.
Can I say one thing? Because you played that cut from Mark Mullett. And he made a good point by saying, before all this, cities and counties had different pursuit policies. And you needed an Excel spreadsheet if you're a criminal to figure out, if I go to Seattle, they're not going to chase me. In Tacoma, they will. That kind of a thing. Mm. When the word came out that they is a universal, they're not chasing anybody, it gave a green light. This is him saying it. It gave a green light to criminals, an unintended consequence of what they had passed. It gave everybody across the state realizing, you know what? That cop, he just pulled me over. He's not going to chase me now. So he also blamed us talking about it and raising it to this level of a debate so the criminals know, hey, they're not going to chase us. But he also... some of the Democrats said, thank the news media and talk radio like this, because we are talking about it. And that put pressure on the Democrats to actually do something yesterday. So there's the double edged sword.
I want the Democrats to come on the show. I want all the Democrats that voted against it to come on the G and Ursula show.
Let me
holler at you for a second. Seriously. I mean, come on, Ursula. Like this is the show. This ain't no left and right. This ain't Dems and Republicans. This is straight up people over politics. The vast majority of people want this to get right.
Well, and I think when you see something like this where Democrats are also jumping on it and saying, wait, we need to make these changes. If they leave the legislature and if they leave this session without having addressed something in this, it'll be a huge disappointment to a lot of people.
The subtext line here is one vote yesterday in a Democratic caucus. Otherwise, we would not be talking about this right now. Some, we call them brave or whatever, they went against their own kind and voted to put this on the floor.
And we need more people like that. So you're going to tell us because we'll just be, you'll be watching this closely because this could be dead again.
Correct.
Very soon.
Now, I know you do a lot of important stuff. Matt, you have been doing a very, very good job when it comes to this. But before you go, I need to ask, because you brought it up twice now. Right now is breakfast time. And if it was time for you to have sausage, what kind of sausage you want? Do you want links or do you want sausage patty? Which one you want? Which one is better?
Louisiana hot link.
Oh, my guy.
Yeah, that's me.
Wait, for the first time ever.
Spike it, man. Spike it.
For the first time ever, you and I actually agree on something. You know about the Louisiana hots?
I do.
Well,
I buy them at Costco all the time.
Let me tell you something. You can come to the barbecue where you got that Louisiana hot. You put mustard on there, too? You have mustard with some white bread.
Yeah. Okay, on the text line, 425 texted and said, Matt Markovich is fixated on sausage. Grill a brat. Get some Jimmy Dean, my man. It's okay.
Oh, God.
Ursula, you like link or patty?
I like links.
Them links. It's all about the links.
There's like the little crunch.
but seriously, though, I know this sounds crazy. Get you a Louisiana hot link, white bread, and some mustard. Trust your boy. Thank you, Matt. Really
You're
appreciate
welcome.
You, bro.
You're welcome.
Hey, Ursula, coming up next, we're going to bring in Mickey Gomez to tell me why all of my brothers and sisters down in Pierce County might get mad. She got some traffic stuff to discuss. We'll do that next. Gina Ursula.
And Ursula show. G is back in today. So glad to have him back. Mickey Gomez is going to be joining us here in just a second. And we're going to be talking about why so many people in Pierce County right now are feeling slighted once again after hearing that they're going to have to wait even longer to get light rail service. Mickey, you've been looking into this. So how long are they going to have to wait?
2035, an extra 5 years.
Oh, okay. And why?
That is because the connection at the Fife station is reportedly in a FEMA flood zone. And one of the federal requirements for a station to be placed in a flood zone or a floodplain is to do studies and to try to mitigate the location. And, well, Council Chair Mello had a lot to say when we spoke to one another. I asked him, how this is going to affect residents in South Sound.
It means more people spending time away from their families and taking time to get to work in school and other places they need to go to run their life, right?
So he says more people are going to be spending time in their cars, spending time, taking transit. The HOV lanes aren't moving very fast. So we got a big problem, according to them.
And this is with not everyone 100%, not even nowhere near close to 100% back to work in downtown Seattle.
Right.
So once that starts to increase, it's going to be even more.
So you were talking to Council Chair Ryan Mello, and I see that he is quoted here as talking about how many people, like one in four Pierce County workers actually travel to other counties for employment every single day.
Yes.
And of those, more than, and G would be one of them, and of those, more than 80% work in King and even Snohomish counties. So basically, they're adding over 100,000 drivers to I-5 every single day.
They
so
are.
If you want to know, light rail, light rail is vital. Although I'm willing to bet that once that connection is there, are you going to use light rail?
I love light rail.
That was prejudicial. Yeah. You know, so like, no. that was misleading. You know not to ask. You knew the answer to that question, Ursula. No. That's just wrong.
Well, see, but here's the part you can say is, look, I might not be able to because it might not be practical.
Okay.
But there will be 100,000 or, you know, up to 100,000 other people who won't have to be on I-5. Why it is all critical.
Why they always show lack? Why does it seem, Mickey, there's always, I'm just going to let you know.
Okay.
We folks down in Pierce County, we always feel disrespected. We always feel that this stuff happens to us. Why do we feel that way, Mickey?
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why we didn't move to Pierce County, because we've been looking for a home for a while now, the last 6 months. And I remember telling you one time, I love Tacoma. I love the Proctor neighborhood. I love the affordability. And we looked at several homes. We were excited and we looked at the commute and what it was going to be. And because there wasn't a light rail and it was going to be difficult for my wife and I to commute into Seattle. We didn't put in an offer on any homes at all. And so just finding out that Pierce County, their extension is going to be delayed until 2035. My goodness.
This might impact you, Ursula, because I might look for other employment. You just never know.
Well, you're assuming I'm going to be here by that time. Let's go back to the people who are actually impacted by this, including G.
Yes.
Paul in DuPont just texted in and he says, I will have spent $7,000 plus by the time light rail gets to us, and I voted no. I am not happy. And that's what I hear from a lot of people who do live in Pierce County. It's like, wait a minute, we didn't even want this. Now it is going to be delayed. So what are they going to do in the meantime? And I know that Ryan Mello and others, the mayor of Tacoma, have talked about some interim things they can do while this delay is going
on. One of the things that they've asked, one of the things that Ryan Mello has requested that Sound Transit do is increase the sounder trains. Make sure that those runs happen more frequently for people who have to commute into King County. He also asked that that the buses run a little bit longer and that they increase, you know, the bus routes and make sure that they've got enough runs for commuters who have to commute into the city. And then he said, of course, we've got to talk to, you know, to SDOT because those HOV lanes, according to Pierce County Council, they're a mess. The HOV lanes are a mess and you get bogged down in traffic on I-5 headed northbound. So it's like you're sitting in a regular lane. What was interesting is I did ask Chair Mello, has Sound Transit responded to any of your requests? And he said,
I have not received an answer yet, no.
And that prompted me to call the agency. I spoke to Public Information Officer David Jackson at Sound Transit, and I asked, so what is going on?
We're working with our partners in South King County and Pierce County to get light rail as far south as we can, as quick as we can. You know that our services are important to Pierce County residents. We provide Sounder now and ST Express services, and we're looking at those to evaluate how they can best work for the commuters of that area of the region.
So then I asked, why choose the location in Fife, at the Fife station that's in a FEMA flood zone? And he said,
All of Fife is a flood zone.
So,
okay, well, that sounds like a great pat answer, but everything that's so... Knowing that, why are we just finding out about this is why people lose faith in agencies like Sound Transit when you find out so deep into this after you've asked people to cough up the money that, it's going to be in a flood zone. So we're going to be delayed because we have to have additional, you know, make changes, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Well, why wasn't that part of the study before you decided where it was going to go?
I asked the same thing and I did get a runaround answer.
So to put it in layman's terms. Imagine this. Imagine going into a place and giving and purchasing something. And then you keep coming back week after month, after year, after 5 years, after 10 years. And every time, Ursula, you go in there, you know what they say? We're working on it. We're working on what's best for you. Meanwhile, the people, right? Pierce County, who have, first of all, they voted against it. But anyways, the people that keep giving their money, like Paul and DuPont says, nothing comes of it, Ursula. And then there is the frustration. And then not just on top of that, the absolute traffic nightmare that it's going to be. And Ursula, this is going to affect you. You should be mad because I'm going to come in here in a bad mood every day. I need you to fight for the people.
Do I not sound hacked off enough? I don't live in Pierce County. And I'm telling you, this ineptitude by Sound Transit right now should not be okay.
So that means you're serious.
Well, yes, it's not. The Sound Transit says it's not a money issue. It's a planning issue. And I asked Chair Mello, all right, give me your thoughts. You know, sound off. What do you really feel? And this is what he said.
These stations are getting more grandiose, more expansive, and more expensive. It makes us question in the South Sound, why can't we get our first basic above ground link extension?
Yeah.
Good question. There you go, Ryan Mello.
Yeah.
I love the way you said that, player.
And okay. Pierce Heart has my heart. I love Pierce County. I think it's a beautiful part of South Sound. We wanted to live there. We couldn't. We chose Normandy Park because it would be closer.
Yeah, I love Tacoma, too. Mm-hmm. You know, the last time I visited, but someone told me, don't turn Tacoma into Seattle, please.
It's already turning into Seattle. Come on.
I said, are you telling me you don't want me to visit your antique shops? They were joking.
Mickey Gomez,
yes.
We always appreciate you, my friend. Thank you so much. By the way, you have been on the air all morning. Do you get a break?
I'm not getting a break until 12 o'clock. We're short. Sully's in meetings, so.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you. Coming up next here on the G and Ursula Show, someone writes in and they say, quote, should I dump her for refusing to remove her tattoo? Oh, wee. I wonder what kind of tattoo this is. And we'll all find out next. G and Ursula. What's up, everybody? It is G and Ursula. Ursula, wait. During scenarios, you guys didn't do the chat GPT thing with me, did you?
It was sprinkled throughout yesterday's show.
Man, that...
People had kind of a hard time distinguishing the robot from the real thing.
I would be real sad. I would be really sad. Watch this. I know the text line gonna blow up. I'd be really sad if people said they want chat GPT G over the real G.
They didn't say that.
They didn't say that?
No.
Right, cool.
Chef has an act for that GPT. You got to talk to him more about that.
Okay, I'll do that. Let's get to scenarios. Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario? Ursula, I can't wait for your response on this one.
Oh, no.
I'm thinking about breaking up with my girlfriend, but my best friend says I'm being petty. She insulted me, and I just can't get past it. She has a few tattoos, including the first name of her old boyfriend on her body. I don't want to say the letters of the name, but I see this name in big, bold letters, and it's inside of a heart. So I brought it up casually, and she got angry. Then she shut down the conversation saying, what's the big deal? I don't really think about it, or him at all. You have nothing to worry about. I told her it was hard for me not to think about it. Seeing that right on her every time is just really starting to really bother me. She said that she was young and in love, and that was all there is to it. That's the problem. She was in love, but is she not in love now? I'm sick of it. What can I do to get her to have it removed? And am I overreacting if I leave her because of it? 888-973-5476. Ursula, I know, being sarcastic, I know that you have a lot of experience when it comes to tattoos. You're up to bat first.
You know I have strong opinions about tattoos. And if you're a tattoo lover, you probably don't like my opinion.
Okay.
Although I will say that there are some people who carry off tattoos really well. It's just something that I chose not to put on myself. And I strongly discourage both my sons from getting tattoos when they considered getting them.
Right.
Now, that all said, no, you shouldn't break up over that. if everything else is great and it's just that one thing, something that she did prior to you even knowing each other,
yeah,
that is something that I think you can overcome. Now, I'm not trying to diminish or dismiss the feelings that you have, because it is a reminder of a relationship and a love that she had for someone else, right, other than you. And as you know, I mentioned that there was a time when I would get jealous or have questions about ex-girlfriends of someone I was dating. I said I was that person who was asking those questions.
You ask questions? You want details?
I thought,
not Ursula.
I know. It's like, yeah, don't ask questions if you don't want to hear the answer. I'm telling you right now. It's a no-win for the person.
Right.
Okay, but... Okay. Someone I love very much, I'm not going to put their business out there, is dating someone he loves. Yeah. And she has the tattoo of an ex who passed away from brain cancer.
Oh.
And
oh.
They had a discussion about it. And he concluded that I'm not going to tell her to... do something differently with that tattoo. I'm not going to feel threatened. This is someone who meant something to her, meant a lot to her, who passed away. And, you know, I'm going to be good with it.
Yeah, you got to be.
It doesn't take away anything from me.
Yeah, you got to be. But yeah. Ursula.
And I was proud of that.
I'm proud of that, too. All right. First, let me hear from, I'm here for Paul. Paul, what do you got?
I have three tattoos, so if this was something, it would be a problem. If you're going to want it removed, you're going to pay for that? You're going to pay for the addition? Because I'll just let you know, artists here in Seattle, it's about $150 to $200 an hour to get that fixed. And I'm with, you know, sometimes you have a momentum from the past, and I think that's okay.
Yeah.
Yes, in the heart with the ex-girlfriend, that's fine, but if your relationship's good enough, you should be able to work through it, and you should be able to have something to remember your past, even if it was with the another person.
You gotta do you on a tattoo, boo. Hey, let me tell you something. Ain't no way in the world that Lillian would be my wife with another man's name in a heart. No. Why? So we can go out on a function and we can be all out to dinner, and so Ursula could be with her significant other and be like, hey, you see that tattoo on Lily? I wonder if she's going to get that thing covered up. Hey, at least cover the thing up. And if you don't want to cover the thing up, and you know what? I'll pay for it.
Like Brian in Bellevue says, modify it.
I'll pay for it.
Turn it into a butterfly.
I'll pay for it. But if you tell me I am not going to cover it up, deuces, I'm out. I mean, I'm out of there. I'm just telling y'all right now. There's no, there's no in the world I'm letting Lillian walk around with another man's name on her.
Would you let her walk around with your name tattooed to get it fixed? That's the question. Well, how would you feel if they got it fixed and now it's your name?
I mean, you know, I'm always gonna be one to call
her.
Call
me
daddy. What do you got there?
It's hard not to disagree with you, G. I wouldn't be able to handle that kind of ink on a partner's skin. On top of her sensitivity with this conversation, I can see where this dude is coming from, because if you're thinking of anything long term, that bad boy's sticking around through thick and thin in their relationship. At this point, the removal, I feel like, is almost as bad as the ink itself, because there's a mark that's going to stick around and there's the memory that's going to drill in your head.
So essentially, maybe not you, Paul, but the two of the three guys on this show are saying it's a no-go. It's a deal breaker. Someone has...
For sure.
Even if it was way before your time.
And even if it's not a deal breaker, your homeboy's in the text thread, y'all know about that text, but you're going to get flamed in that text line. Like, bro, I can't believe you got that. And somebody texts in and says, gee, that's your wife. It's the difference as a girlfriend. Let me explain something to you. You don't become wife if you still got that tattoo. You know what I'm saying? You're not going, Paul, you're not going down the aisle. Dun, 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 dun. The tattoo is still on her heart.
Those names get matches with the tattoos. It's taboo.
Get rid of them tattoos.
Don't tattoo my name on you, please. Like, you know, that's my other thing. Just avoid that altogether. Just avoid that one.
I agree. Ursula, any last words? You got 5 seconds.
It's a cautionary tale. Just remember how everyone answered on this show.
Coming up next, it's good to be back, y'all. We're going to do Agree to Disagree. I can't wait. It's Gene Ursula.